to Fitfluential Radio, the intersection of fitness, health, wellness, and modern medicine. 50% education, 50% motivation. We're here to help you find your fitness. Tune in weekly for interviews with some of the most respected and experienced names in the business, providing actionable insights for you in every episode. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's roll. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, I welcome one of my favorite people on the planet. I know I say that about a lot of people, but Alex Mazurko has become a dear and very near and dear friend of mine. She's somebody that I randomly discovered as I was scrolling through Instagram looking for solutions to all of my problems, searching hashtags for adrenal fatigue, Hashimoto's, and so on and so forth. And I stumbled on one of her posts that just resonated with me because of similar experiences. And this is a two-part episode filled with so much learning. I'm just telling you, so many of you ladies that listen have similar health challenges that I do. And a lot of you are in my age range, right? So I'm 49, getting ready to turn 50 here in less than a month. And yet my guest, Alex, is, I hope it's correct because there might be a year difference or so. She's about 25. So she's half my age. And she's having to deal or has been having to deal with the same issues of adrenal burnout, thyroid issues, unexpected and uncontrollable weight gain, inability to lose weight, massive sleep issues, stress issues, migraines. I mean, you name it, she's dealing with it. And what's sad is that her story is no longer a unique one. And this is why I am most passionate about continuing what we're doing here on Fitfluential Radio. And that is educating all of you on what lifestyle choices, lifestyle choices can cause so many of these issues, and it builds up over time. But what's happening is because of the environmental issues, the toxins in our food and products that we regularly use and don't even think about it, that's why we're starting to see hormonal imbalances present themselves at younger and younger ages. This isn't just a perimenopause thing. This isn't just a menopause thing. This is happening to women of all ages. It's happening because of birth control. It's happening because of massive stress. It's happening because of overtraining and dieting and so on and so forth. And any combination of the above, and then you add to that maybe excessive dieting, poor food choices, a lot of processed foods. It's just a nightmare in the making, and it's happening to a lot of you listening and you don't realize it. And that's why it makes me, sounds funny to say, I'm excited to share this story. I'm excited to share stories of triumph because certainly meeting Alex online and connecting with her changed my life. And I tell her that every time she and I connect. She is a force of nature. It's funny because that's what people describe me as, and I feel like that's an appropriate way for me to describe Alex. She is a beautiful person on the inside and out. She cares deeply about helping other women. She's got two businesses, both a fitness business where she coaches women from anything on beginning with their macros all the way to their fitness programs. She's competed in figure competitions. She trains other people to compete in figure competitions. She also has a branding business where she trains women on build your own brand. It's a phenomenal program. I can't recommend it enough. And of course, we'll link up to this in the show notes. But I want you to sit back and relax. This is a two-part, 60-minute plus episode. And you are going to learn so much about how Alex first got into the fitness space, what were some of the things that started to, she now knows, what were some of the choices she was making in her early fitness life, in her early competition phases that caused her to have the massive I don't know, tsunami of health problems that happened to her about a year and a half ago. She's like 6 months ahead of me in addressing her problems. And she is so smart because she's done so much research. I commend her for doing that at such a young age. She is somebody you need to be following and gobbling up everything she offers as far as services, both on the business side and on the fitness side. And you are going to love this interview. It is packed with so much information, and I know I can't wait to hear your comments on it because this is really just a jam-packed hour-plus interview. So make sure you listen to both parts one and part two and enjoy this chat with my friend Alex Mazurko. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. Today on the show, I'm like giggling over here, Alex. I have Alex Mazurko on the show, and I'm giggling because I have such, this is like major woman fitness crush on the show, and I'm so stoked to have you on the show because you have been such a huge blessing in my life, discovering you and learning more from you. And I just honestly, you're one of about three people that when I pull Instagram up, you're the first people I check in because you're amazing. You are such a ray of energy. You share so much information. What you're going through, we're going to talk about it today. You're just brilliant. And I'm so, so honored to have you on the show and so glad to have you. So welcome, Alex. Are you ready to go?
Thank you so much, Kelly. I'm over here blushing like my cheeks are, you know, up to my eyeballs. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I really am thrilled. And for everybody listening, you know, of course, we're going to link up to Alex's, you know, website and her Instagram profile. But I was perusing, you know, Instagram, and I don't know if I had already been following you. I think so. I think I'd already been following you. But one of your posts recently had come through, you know, my stream, and it was a post where you were sharing something about what you've been going through. And well, I'm giving you guys a trailer of what we're going to be talking about shortly, but just to share, I saw this post and it was like God showing a headlight to me, like, you need to read this post, Kelly. And for everybody that knows me and has been listening to the show, you know, I am dealing with a host of issues that my doctor and my dietitian are unraveling, and they're related to massive adrenal fatigue, cortisol issues, major hormonal imbalance, and things that I've to some degree made worse because I've been trying so hard to get fit and lean that I overtrained, underate, and didn't pay attention to the right things. And so when I saw one of Alex's posts, and again, we'll get into this, like, what was she posting about? She was just, honestly, it was like a gift from God because she has gone through, she has a tremendous fitness story, how she got into fitness, but what she's been dealing with and healing from the past year. And she's just an extraordinary woman. I think one of the most amazing women I've met and connected with this year. And I'm excited for you guys to hear from her. So Alex, to get started, to give people a little context before we get into what we're going to be talking about currently, you know, how you're healing and how you've been healing the past year or so. What was it for you? What's your fitness story? Like, when was it for you in your life that you first got interested in fitness culture and in working out and watching what you eat? I know you have experience and you work with folks in the fitness competition space and you've been a competitor, but when was it for you that you first got into that and why was that?
So I was active my whole life. I was a runner and I was a cheerleader. And then, like everyone goes to college, I wasn't a collegiate athlete. No one was making me run 3.1 miles. So why would I go out and do that when I could go to the bars instead and enjoy college? So I probably put on a good 20, 25 pounds, more than, you know, the average freshman 15. And by sophomore year, I was having panic attacks. My anxiety was turning into depression. I wasn't showering. I wasn't getting out of bed. My heart rate was through the roof. My blood pressure was through the roof. And so here's a 21-year-old who needs to be put on blood pressure medication. And doctors are telling me, you need to make a lifestyle change. And I was a college student, but I didn't think I was doing anything that bad for my health, and I could still run a mile. And but the way that I work, as you know, a high strung person already, I need an outlet for all of that. So I always joke, my day one was a hip hop ab video with my mom for 45 minutes. And I ate, I ate one piece of toast instead of two, and I had egg whites instead of an egg. And that was like my day one. And I, you know, if anyone who started their fitness journey, it becomes addicting almost, you know, the adrenaline, the endorphins. And I feed off of that. So within 50 days, I lost 15 pounds. I was building muscle. I was taking classes at the rec. I started doing Tough Mudders. So the last 2 years of college, I whipped my butt into shape and then decided I was going to run a half marathon after college, which I had run, you know, Tough Mudders, which are pretty close, but ran the half, and I have terrible feet, which is why I stopped running in the first place. I end up with a stress fracture every time I train. And I was seeing, you know, the bodybuilding trend start to get popular, and I had good muscle. I had a little six pack, but I never had a butt ever. And if anybody's seen a bikini competition, you know, you are judged from the back. You turn around and you're in a very small sparkly bikini, and they, you know, they judge you based off of your glutes, and I never had any. So it's kind of my dream to build them.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I have to say this because this is what's so funny. So Alex is, how old are you right now? 27?
27.
So I'm 49, she's 27. And what's so funny is that, now this might sound really weird to you, but like Alex, when I was in college, so I was born out of the womb with junk in the trunk. I've always had a booty. Yeah. And I've had boobs and a booty, and I was always trying to have the Jennifer Garner body where it was no boobs, more of an athletic build. I don't know why I didn't. So it was not until later when Jennifer Lopez and the Kardashians and everything changed the whole having the butt is okay. But seriously, when I was in college, you just said like, I knew I wanted to build a butt. And like when I was in college, you know what girls did? We wore blazers that covered our butts. The biggest thing we wanted to do was like, how can we stretch out our Ohio State sweatshirts so they cover our butts so nobody knows we have a butt? Isn't that funny how times have changed? So just had to interrupt and put that out there that like, it was so cool that when I did start working out, I had a lot of material to work with because God gave me a lot of junk back in that trunk. But yeah.
Well,
you used to hide it.
It's funny because I've had double D boobs since the fifth grade, but never had a butt. So it was just like this weird imbalance of like, you know, the boobs came on real quick. I got made fun of for stuffing my bra, and I always just wanted to be a little more balanced. So I competed the first year. I did the bro diet, bro science way. You can only eat 10 foods. Spinach, broccoli, lettuce, oatmeal, rice, chicken, eggs, pretty much.
Living in Tupperware, probably.
Oh, actually, so I lived with my aunt and uncle at the time, and I was dedicated one drawer of space in the fridge, and because I would meal prep, and they didn't want me taking up, you know, the entire fridge. So I would put them in plastic baggies. So all my meals I ate out of, like, Ziploc sandwich bag. I look back and I think, oh, the office that I worked in probably hated me microwaving my fish and eating out of plastic.
That's so true.
So I knew I never really wanted to do that again. And I knew I always looked really good before my show. And then my coach would peak me in a way that was not right, especially for me. And I would end up looking puffy and spilled over is the term in the bodybuilding community on show day. So I got done with that. I probably put on a good 15 pounds, which is more than normal post show.
Can I ask you a question there in the middle? When you said, because I'm always thinking of our audience, and there's a lot of people that are familiar with the competition space, but there's some that are listening that are like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. So when you said your coach would peak me in a bad way, can you just elaborate a little bit on that before you continue?
Yeah. So everybody wants to compete because they see the one photo of you on stage looking so tight, so perfect, flawless, no cellulite, no wrinkles, no nothing. And that is peaking, and that is manipulating water and salt and carbohydrates and the way you train for about a week, 7 to 10 days, and you get your skin looking super tight and your muscles looking really full.
Okay.
But a lot of coaches will cut carbs and they'll cut water for a whole week, and then they quickly add back in carbs to rapidly fill your muscles. But once, if you give somebody too many carbs, you end up spilling them over because your muscles can only hold a certain amount of glycogen, and then you start to spill over and hold water in other places, as opposed you just look heavy. If that is a good explanation.
Well, it is. And just as a sidebar for everybody listening, I do feel it's really important, because I think you can absolutely go. I have so many friends in the competition space. Whitney Jones, who just won the Olympia, is a dear friend of mine, has been on the show. You and I both know Courtney King. She's
love
a friend
her.
Of mine. And there's, so you can go into competition. I don't by any means want to say, oh, if you compete, you're automatically going to destroy everything. We're definitely going to talk about some things you should be aware of. But the other thing for folks that are maybe following some of these people on Instagram, it's really important to listen to what Alex just said, in that the people that are training to get in these bikini competitions or figure competitions or physique, they are hardcore training. And it's very important to know that they... It's, I almost wanted to say it's like an Olympic athlete, but Olympic athletes are training for movement and for a certain skill. When you're training yourself for how your body looks on stage, it really is a lot of science. And you heard when Alex was describing like manipulating carbs in a certain way, and then the day of you're putting water back in. That's not a, when you see those pictures of how people look on competition day, you can't walk around and look that way year round. You would probably not live. I mean, it's like some of those, they're dehydrated. So just know that it can be manipulated with an expert. Some of this stuff can be done. It is a sport, and it is not a way for, it's nothing that you should aspire to look like year round. And I think maybe you can comment on this later, but sometimes that's what gets me frustrated about magazines like Oxygen, among others, because they put folks out that are 4 to 5 weeks away from competing, mm-hmm. and your average consumer woman doesn't know that that's like not really possible to walk around that way unless you're eating nothing but like 4 ounces of chicken all day. So just keep that in mind, that it's really important when you are looking up to some of these people on social. That's very strict. It's competition. It is for a certain amount of time, and it's not sustainable for life. And you can comment on that later too, Alex, but I think you did a really good explanation. So please continue.
And another point to make is a lot of these people are taking anabolic steroids. Not many people want to come out and say, yeah, I took something to give me a leg up. It's perfectly legal, or it's not that legal, but it's not tested for in some of the bodybuilding community. So you can compete and be taking things to enhance your physique and make it almost easier for you. And then there are natural divisions, which, you know, just be aware that it's not often naturally sustainable. And just to touch on the whole Olympic athlete thing, I might really like to ski, but no way am I going to go think I'm going to go ski in the Olympics anytime soon. And unfortunately, social media makes it seem like, oh, these girls are training at the, you know, national and Olympian level for bodybuilding. Oh, I think this will be fun. It's not fun. It's a sport. It's an extreme sport. And that's the last thought everybody thinks about it. They think it's a fun, more like a pageant thing. And mm-hmm. it's not.
Yeah. I mean, it's intense, and it's not, I mean, you can't be like the rest of us where it's like, well, I decided to have some wine that week. Like you have a glass of wine that's not planned, and you're screwed. So it is very serious. And that was actually a really good way of putting it. Like, hey, I like to ski, but that doesn't mean that I have to be a competitive skier. And there's some folks out there that are really good at, you know, they know they've got a loyal following. And of course, Alex, you're one of them, and you coach a lot of individuals in this space, but they're really good about putting out clarity. Like, hey guys, FYI, I think Brooke Entz is somebody I follow a lot.
And oh, yeah.
she, she's put stuff out there to go, people, here's the deal. I eat this way, but I also spend like 3 hours a day in the gym preparing for the CrossFit Games. Like, this is not normal, how normal people's abs look and how normal people eat. And most normal people don't have 3, 4, 5 hours a day to just train in the gym. And so that, putting that clarity out there, because a lot of people will look and follow someone like Brooke or a competitor and go, until I look that way, until I look like that person, but do you have 4 or 5 hours to be in the gym, or do you have the ability to be on a bodybuilder or bro diet, a competitor diet all year? No, you don't. And you don't need to be. You can be fit and healthy and have a balanced life. And that's a lot of what we're going to talk about shortly. So I, of course, interrupted you, but you articulated on a lot of good stuff. So we were talking about your fitness journey and how you were training and competing, and your coach was peaking you in the bad way. So what was happening after that competition space?
So I definitely went into eat everything in sight mode after, you know, you only ate 10 foods for 5 months. So went into eat a whole pizza, eat ice cream every night. And then that dwindles once your hunger hormones are back in check. And that's when the IIFYM, if it fits in your macros trend, was booming. And I would see this and I'm like, this is a lie. I had to eat only these 10 foods to get that body. How is so-and-so on Instagram eating a bowl of cereal and have abs? So I ended up finding my coach that I worked with and now work under, Adam Atkinson, see you later, leader. And I basically interviewed him for 2 hours because I never wanted to have another coach that I was going to be blindsided by, that there wasn't going to be science or numbers or how are we going to get from point A to point B and a plan. There was none of that before. So I ended up hiring Adam, and my career as a competitor definitely exploded. I did very well in 12 shows over 2 years.
In 2 years?
Yeah. Well, damn. So I did 15 in 3 years, which is also, it's a problem in how I kind of ended up where I am now. But I was never competing because I wanted to stay shredded all year long. I was just competing because I'm an athlete and that's what I like to do. And I love the structure and the endorphins and the training, and it's what I love, but I needed to take a step back and realize you can do all of those things and still have structure in your life at a slightly higher body fat percentage. And you don't need to step on stage every month because your body will backfire after you've spent, you know, 20 out of 24 months in a caloric deficit. So I did. I spent almost 2 years at a competitor level leanness, and my body definitely fought back because as women, we are meant to, you know, bear children. We need fat for our hormones. Men can get away with being at a lower body fat percentage just because they genetically don't need, you know, to have children. So my body definitely rebelled against me for a lot of different reasons, competing being one of them.
That's okay. I'm just taking all of these notes, so I'm catching up. And I love how you said that because I never really thought about it that way. And we're kind of segueing into how I connected with Alex and what she was talking about with healing her body. But your body rebelled and you said, here I spent all this time competing in this massive caloric deficit and at a certain lower level of body fat. And as a woman, and this is what I hear, I can't personally relate to this, but I do see a lot of women in the competition space who are going through this same thing in similar ways, healing their hormones. And they're looking back and they're saying, for so many years, I didn't have a period. For so many years, I had this going on. And a lot of times women will ignore that because we just either our eyes are so focused on losing weight, getting thin, that we think it's no big deal. And a lot of, I'm going to ask you a question there. Did you have issues where your body fat was so low that you didn't have a period? I seem to hear that a lot, that women are like, I wasn't bleeding and I didn't seem to think that that was a problem.
Oh yeah. For a good 2 years. So I think after my second year, it came back for maybe like 3 or 4 months and then went away again. And I got it. I always stop competing around September and I would typically get it back around November. But as soon as, I mean, I was at 8% body fat, which is extremely low for a female. That's, you know, as low as some male competitors get. Mm-hmm. And when I had my bod pod and RMR test, which is your resting metabolic rate, the professor who did it at a local university here said, can we talk about osteoporosis? Because that's where you're headed. Wow. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, we could talk about it when I'm done with this prep.
Wow.
And, you know, people like Lauren Eirich have talked about this too. It's like you have your blinders on and you'll do anything to get the job done. I'm one of those people. Besides taking anabolic steroids, I would have done anything to step on that stage, including not go to the doctor for my gut health for, you know, 8 months. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem. We're pushing aside normal bodily functions to step on a stage to get a $5 plastic trophy. Like, and in hindsight, you know, I love competing. I would love to do it again, but there's a 60% chance that will never happen. And I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. But I would be excited for the 40% chance that it would happen. Mm-hmm. But where I'm at in, you know, my life, I have a significant other. I want to enjoy life, kids in the next 5 years. And adding the stress of that to your body that might not let me be able to get pregnant for a year or two or three until your body catches back up from being that low. That's not really worth the risk that I would be willing to take.
Yeah. It's amazing that you, and of course some of this, and that's going to be my next question is, you know, what was the impetus for you going, holy shit, I need to make some changes. This is serious. I've got to look at my health. But it's, you're very self-aware. You're very mindful to be able at such a young age to go, okay, wait a minute. I need to think about my whole life. There's a lot of people that, as you said, have their blinders on. They have a myopic vision. They're only caring about right now what they look like. They're not thinking about the implications. I know certainly in retrospect, I didn't think at all about going on the pill when I was 19 and that there would be implications for those hormones. I didn't think at all about going on all these antibiotics when I was 18 or 19 to control my acne and all the implications. You don't think that. You're just like, give me a pill, make my pimples go away. Mm-hmm. And then with birth control, I'm like, oh, this will be great. I won't have a big period. I won't bleed a lot. I didn't think, and no doctor said to me, you should think about what we're doing to your hormones so that you don't bleed a lot. Like women are like, we don't like our periods. It gives me cramps. It gives me cravings. Make it go away. And we sure aren't going to read the label on medication to see what the possible side effects of birth control or antibiotics. And, you know, fast forward, I went on spironolactone in 2009 and a dermatologist said, you'll be on this. She told me, she's like, you'll be on this the rest of your life. It's a miracle drug. It's going to help adult onset female acne. And I'm like, awesome. And I have been on that until I saw my doctor 3 weeks ago. And he was like, are you still taking that? And we had this moment of like, oh shit. And I have been on the maximum doses of spironolactone since 2009, in addition to antibiotics, in addition to other things. We don't think about the implications. And that's why I love what Alex is putting out there about her journey. That's why I'm so passionate about sharing, because the more we start talking about these conversations and women of all ages can hear, oh my God, this is what happened because of overtraining, because of competition, because of anabolic steroids, because of birth control, more people will be able to, I hope, take that look at their own life and go, maybe I should think about the fact that I'm on Prilosec and migraine headaches and Xanax, you know, migraine pills and Xanax and birth control. And maybe all that stuff is not good for me because we don't think long-term. So Alex, I give you such credit for being able to see and look at what's important. And you have a wonderful man who has supported you through this transition. And that's awesome. And we will talk about that later. He's an amazing catch and you guys deserve each other, but let's take it back to your, when was it, you've kind of led up to this, but when was it that you had your awakening of like, wow, my health needs some serious attention? Because that's a lot of what you've been doing for what, about the past year, is healing?
Yes, it has been 13 months, almost exactly. And I usually stop competing in September. Usually Labor Day weekend is my last show because I start the season early. And I should have never done that last show last year. I kind of blew up about 12 hours before the show. The day before, I had one of these gut health, can't go to the bathroom, holding water, puffy inflammation. So within 12 hours, I was 10 pounds heavier than I was the day before and had to step on stage, not only in severe pain, but looking probably the worst I've ever looked on any stage, or let alone the national stage. And so that was like, God, you could not have told me and to stop in a worse way, worse timing, but it was kind of my wake-up call. And I was in severe pain for another 2 weeks after. And I'm like, this can't be good. I thought my internal organs, something, my gallbladder, my liver. So I worked to get into a doctor before I turned 26 and my insurance expired, which is, you know, great, great timing. And
when it rains, it pours.
Oh yes. So I was lucky enough to get into a GI, and thank goodness he did look at the liver, the gallbladder. Didn't have time to get a scope in before insurance ran out, but at least I knew that my internal organs were fine. And he did a basic blood panel and said I probably have ulcers. And I was like, yeah, I had ulcers in high school. I don't think that's what I have. And that's when Courtney King was talking about her journey and a few other competitors, and I was opening up. I kind of became the poop girl on Instagram for a while. I was talking about how I couldn't poop and all these problems. Yeah, but it got people's attention, and people started cheering.
I just love it. I'm sorry.
People started sharing their journeys, and that made me feel like I wasn't crazy. And, you know, I was worse off than some women, and some women were worse off than me. And I was lucky to stumble on this company, Biome, which I believe Lisa Bilyeu of Quest, if I'm saying that right, worked with them as well. And so it's an at-home stool kit. And I just look back and I'm shocked, because I've had a few clients try and get stool tests from their doctors, and they won't order them stool tests. And it's one of the cheaper tests. I mean, I had these $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 liver, gallbladder test, but you can't order me a stool test that's like $200-$300. And it basically showed that I had severe dysbiosis, which is an imbalance of bacteria in your gut. So I actually was missing three or four strains completely. I only had two forms of bacteria in my gut, and they were the complete opposite. So I was supposed to have, you know, the 25% of the pink and 75% of the purple. And I had 75% of the pink and 25% of the purple.
Wow. So we can link it up. What's the name of the company where you can get the lovely stool test?
Biome, B-I-O-H-M. Okay. And their website is biomehealth.com. Code Alex does save you, I believe, 15% or no, 20, I think.
Okay, awesome. We will link that up in the show notes.
Awesome. I mean, I didn't even work with them I paid for this test, and I was like, people have to know about this, because I just spent all this time and money going to, you know, a GI doctor, the specialist, and I couldn't get answers. But then this little at-home stool test told me everything, you know, the root of the problem. And not only did I have gut health issues, but I had adrenal fatigue. And I'm consider myself lucky that my thyroid wasn't really affected, but my progesterone was. And I'm going to attribute that to birth control. I'm going to attribute that to being at such a low body fat percentage for a while, low fat. But I realized, like, your progesterone, in hindsight, is a thermogenic and does play a role in your metabolism. So one of the reasons why my metabolism is so slow now is because I have nearly no progesterone. And then I look at the adrenal fatigue, and in hindsight, the adrenal fatigue may have come first. You know, it's kind of like the chicken or the egg, but the year before all of this gut health stuff kind of popped up, I lost my cousin who I was very close with. I was in two very severe car accidents. One resulted in a very messy lawsuit. I was starting my business and working 15 hours a day on that. I was pulling 24-hour Fridays between my three different jobs. So in hindsight, all of my wires were fried, and it makes sense that, you know, the body started to malfunction after all of this.
Well, so many of us don't ever step back. It's kind of like you said, when you were looking forward in your life and going, I want to be able to have kids, you know, however many years down the road it is. And what I'm doing now is going to have an effect on that. But also so many of us, I mean, I didn't. It really was not until I'd say the past year. And most, I would say I've had the most eye-opening, like, holy shit moments with my health, even just the past 2 months, where it's so easy as women, in general, where we live in this society with media images that are pummeling us of, you know, you've got to be perfect, you've got to be airbrushed, you've got to be photoshopped, and you've got to be perfect, and you've got to be young, and plastic surgery options are all out there. And I'm not judging, because I'm personally all for it. Thanks everybody for listening. This marks the end of episode part 1 of my interview with Alex Mazurko. Please be sure to tune into part 2.